familiar with the commands to the ancients, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. Carelessly call a brother idiot, and you just might find yourself hauled into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister, and you are on the brink of hellfire. The simple moral fact is that words kill. This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge against a friend has against you, abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to this friend and make things right. Then, and only then, come back and work things out with God. Or say you're out on the street and an old enemy accosts you. Don't lose a minute. Make the first move. Make things right with him. After all, if you leave the first move to him, knowing his track record, you're likely to end up in court, maybe even jail. If that happens, you won't get out without a stiff fine.
Thank you, Penny. And it's always refreshing to hear the message version, so thank you for that. I've been asked to talk briefly about Youth Genesis, which is the charity that I run. It was a charity that was set up, a Christian work that was set up 13 years ago by Brixham United Reformed Church. And it was actually born out of a need to work with young people within the church, but also to reach out to those around and those young people on the edge that might not necessarily engage with young people. And the reason I've been asked to talk about it is because we're looking at doing some work here in Ottery St Mary, or should I say there? I'm kind of in your mindset, if you're with me. So that's what we're looking at doing. And we're looking at working with the station committee to run a project or some youth sessions on a Wednesday night. And that's going to link in with the work that Graham's doing. So feeding into some of the work he's doing in school, the after-school clubs as well. So it's going to dovetail. But just to talk a bit about Youth Genesis, what we do is we reach out to those young people who might be struggling on the edges, young people that might be disadvantaged. We work with a lot of young people that come from chaotic home lives, young people that come from low-income families, young people that struggle with their mental health, young people that struggle at school. In fact, school isn't their priority. They really struggle to engage with the education system. That's what we do. And the idea is to actually bring that gospel message of love and hope and peace to those young people. It's always interesting because a lot of the work is actually done out in the community. A lot of organisations like councils, town councils, Devon County Council, the Torbay Council, and different funding groups like Devon Community Foundation support the work. And it's always really interesting to see how they want to support a Christian work, because people really do believe in those values. I really do believe that we have a society out there that hunger for love, that hungers for peace. And, you know, a lot of the young people that we work with do struggle and don't have peace in their lives. I'll give you an example of some of our work. We do work all over the place. We've got projects up in Great Torrington in North Devon. We've got projects in Ivybridge, Axminster, projects in Torbay. I've still got the project in Brixham that started 13 years ago. And also we've got a project in Cranbrook, which seems to be expanding as well. We're looking at employing a community connector to do some social prescribing in Cranbrook. So that's quite an exciting thing that's happening there. They're going to be linking in with GP practices, so GPs can refer into the community connector that then place young people and families into community-based projects and activities. But the idea in Ottery is to run a youth club on a Wednesday night that's going to be supporting those young people. Those young people that might be hanging out on the streets, those young people that struggle with their mental health. Here in Paignton, we've got a project after school, which is supported by Sanctuary Housing. And we support young people with their mental health, young people that self-harm, young people that have anxiety, young people that really, really do struggle with depression. And one thing that we really do find has been had a huge impact is the coronavirus and young people being locked down, because some young people have been locked down in difficult situations. I think young people experiencing domestic abuse has risen by 51%. Young people's mental health, their fear about the future and the unknown has risen as well. So here we're supporting young people and we're going out onto the streets. But in Ottery, that's what we want to be doing. We want to be supporting those young people. So I would really, really very much welcome your prayers for the project. I know the station committee are very keen to get things up and running. Because of coronavirus, we were going to start in September, but things have been held up a bit. But we're looking at launching on the 24th of February next year. So we're going to be training volunteers. We're going to be doing some online training. So if there's any of you that are interested and could spare a couple of hours on a Wednesday night in the new year, you'd be welcome to do the training, or you'd be welcome to do the training anyway. I'll share the training with Graham, and I'll share it with Rob as well, so you'll be able to access that. Because often we find people don't volunteer because they don't feel equipped. So it's very much about equipping people. If you are interested in volunteering, you can check out our website. Just type in Youth Genesis into Google and it'll come up. And you can contact us that way. But, you know, preparation is something that's really important. And it's something that's really important for all of us. I've been given the passage this morning from Matthew chapter 5. And here, this chapter really kind of leads us into the beginnings of Jesus' ministry. In chapter 4, we've seen the preparation. We've also seen John the Baptist prepares the way. Jesus gets baptized with water, then baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then we move into chapter 5. And Jesus is starting to talk about the law that was handed down to Moses by God. And Jesus says, he says, I'm not here to change the law. Although we have a new covenant in his blood, I'm here to fulfill the law. And it's really important to remember that. And of course, when we read Matthew chapter 5, and straight away we're into the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the weak. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are the people who are meek, those who hunger, the merciful, the persecuted. You know, we look at the news today, we see so many people who are persecuted. And then Jesus moves into salt and light, and that light of the world, and being a light in the darkness. And then he talks about the fulfillment of the law of the prophets. And then he talks about murder. It's quite interesting that after murder, he talks about adultery. So I'm not going to link the two, but he talks about murder. It's quite interesting because if we look at the Bible, we look at the first example of murder. You can look back to Genesis chapter 4, where we look at the murder of Abel. Cain, his brother, murders Abel out of a fit of jealousy and rage. And purely and simply because God was really liking the offerings that Abel was giving, and Cain got jealous. So Cain, in a fit of rage, killed his brother. And then God punishes him. He gives him a mark so that when he wanders the earth, people don't want to know him. And it's just like that. But you know, it's very difficult. We have a war on our hands, don't we? We have a war on our hands. And that war is between the flesh and the spirit. The Apostle Paul talks to the church in Galatia. Not only does he talk to the church in Galatia, he talks to his churches. He talks about the war between the flesh and the spirit. There's this whole dichotomy going on within us, the temptations that we face. We read Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. And Paul writes, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. You know, if we devoured one another in our churches, we would fall apart, wouldn't we? We'd fall out with one another. People would stop coming. And a root of dissent would reek through the church. It's love that binds us. And God is love. But it's so easy, isn't it, when someone says something to us that we don't like, to get angry, to feel that rage, fits of jealousy. It's really there, and our society is full of it. But there is this whole dichotomy, this war within. The temptations that the flesh long for. I mean, I always tell people at Christmas, I have huge temptations. If anyone knows me, they'll know how much I like chocolate. I'll raid the roses box and I'll just have one. And that one becomes two. And that two becomes four. And that four becomes eight. And then when I get to 12 and I've got a bad belly, I remember actually that the flesh isn't good. And I'm not good because I like the creamy ones, the caramel ones. But, you know, even in the work that we do at Youth Genesis with young people, I should imagine, you know, a lot of work's done with young people around lifestyle choices. We talk to young people about the dangers of smoking, the dangers of using drugs. In Cranbrook, we have a problem at the moment with young people being trafficked drugs. Drugs gets delivered to them. They jump on the bus and they're straight into Exeter delivering the drugs, giving them out. Because people are tempted by these things. But, you know, we have an alternative. Jesus presents an alternative. Jesus presents a new covenant. And it's just like that. Now, we're looking at peace this morning, but we can't just talk about peace without first looking at anger. And anger can be a real barrier between ourselves and God. We give into the anger. If we are very angry, how can we connect and have a relationship with God? If we are angry all the time, how can we have a relationship with one another? How can you build that relationship when there's that anger at the core? People get ever so angry and it devours you. I can tell you now, I'm not a big fan of driving anymore. When I passed my driving test on the 1st of July 1998, and that wasn't my first attempt, it was my sixth. I used to get very nervous. And it took me a whole year, six goes. My driving instructor even took me to Exeter to see how I would get on there. And I didn't get on very well because of all the variable speed limits around Exeter. Was I doing 50? Was I supposed to be doing 30? Anyway, on my sixth go, I passed my test and I was really, really excited. And I knew I'd passed my test because the driving examiner started talking to me about the football because it was during the 1998 World Cup. And he was talking about how well France was doing. So I knew I'd passed my test. But, you know, there were less cars on the road then. And I know that years ago, some of you probably remember when there were even less cars on the road. But now it just seems to me that our roads are clogged with cars. There are people desperate to trying to get somewhere. I ride my bike now. I get around Corbeil-Essonnes on my bicycle because it's so much more peaceful. It's relaxing. I can do it at my own pace. But not far from where Catherine and I live, just down the road, you go down the road and you get to a big junction called Tweenaway Cross. And if you carry on going, as if you're driving towards Torquay, you've got, there's Great Parks Chapel. But before then, there's a merge and turn. You know those lanes that kind of then go into one and you have to give way to one another? Yeah, I can see some grimacing faces. I don't like those because I never know when to go. And I can tell you, I've always struggled with those. And I said to a driving instructor, a lady that I knew, and I said to her, how do you fight? They argue over who's going to go into one another. People indicate, some people don't give way. She said, the trick is peace. The trick is to hang back and be patient and let other people go. Because when other people see that you're being patient and letting other people go, they'll let you in. If they see you being angry and fighting for a way in, they won't let you go. And it's just like that, isn't it? If we can show peace, if we can be that light, if we can demonstrate that peace and that patience and be Christ-like, others will see it. I remember one time I was going and I could see I was going through this same lane, and I was approaching Great Parks Chapel, and I could see in the rearview mirror there was this white van on the inside lane and this small green car on the outside lane. And they were going along together, and I could see what was going to happen. They weren't going to give way to one another. They were both fighting for a space. They didn't have peace. And do you know what happened? They hit one another. They collided. And you see, that's exactly what happens in our Christian walk, in our lives. If we fight for what we think is right and not listen to others or have patience or have love, we're going to collide with one another. We're going to crash. We're going to cause all kinds of headaches. You know, it's about seeking Christ's peace, Christ's patience, all those wonderful things that the Spirit offers. And that's the challenge for us. Do we do things out of anger? Do we create a barrier for ourselves between God? Or do we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness? It's a challenge to us all. And Paul writes in Galatians 5, verse 21. I warn you, this is a warning from Paul. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, so who live in anger, who live in fits of rage, jealousy. He mentions other things as well, drunkenness, selfish ambition, factions, dissensions. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who live like that won't inherit the kingdom of God. It's difficult for a rich man to pass through an eye of a needle. And it's just like that. Finally, I just want to talk to you about peace. And it's about getting ready. It's about preparation. Now, someone said to me not so long ago, they were talking about early morning prayer meetings, and she said it's great because, you know, you can go onto Zoom, and she was saying that you can just go onto Zoom and you can just roll straight out of bed, move your hair about a bit, and then be on the prayer meeting. You don't have to brush your teeth. You don't have to sit next to somebody and worry about bad breath or anything like that. You just turn up. I can tell you, I did prepare this morning. But it's about getting yourself right, isn't it? About getting yourself right before worship. In Matthew chapter 5, in 23-24, and this is the passage that Penny wrote read to us. Therefore, Jesus says, he talks about worship. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. It's about getting yourself right, isn't it? It's about that preparation. And if we wind forward to Colossians, Paul is writing to us. This is Colossians chapter 3. He's talking about being Christ-like, clothed in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Therefore, being holy and being Christ-like. And in verses 15-16, we read, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach, admonishing one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. What Paul is talking about and building on what Jesus is talking about that reconciliation, that peace, before we come before God and worship. Again, if we come before God in anger, we can't worship. You can't worship when you're angry. How can you get into that spirit of worshiping God and giving and offering that praise and thanksgiving? How can you be thankful when angry? Have you tried to be thankful when angry? if you stood there, and I go back to driving because it's a thing that's on my mind at the moment. If you stood there and it's raining, someone drives through a puddle and they get you soaking wet, are you going to be thankful? I'm thinking of an incident back near Paignton bus station where I was walking along the road and two cars drove by and drenched me. I wasn't feeling thankful. It's about getting ourselves right. It's about that peace. It's about that preparation. You know, you could turn up to church. You could turn up to church with bad breath. People might not want to sit next to you. You could turn up to church with your hair all over the place. You could turn up to church in old smelly clothes. And you know, God doesn't care. He cares what's in your hearts. You know, we've all been made in the image of God. We've all been made in the image of God, and that's what our hearts look like. We have to be prepared. If we are full of anger, full of rage, don't go and worship. Go and fix it. If you've fallen out with somebody, go and fix it. Go and reconcile that. You know, you can offer forgiveness. I could preach about forgiveness, but I'm not going to. We don't have the time this morning. But you can offer that forgiveness. It's about what's in your heart. That's important. That reconciliation. Because this is what binds the church. This is what binds each other. It's not sitting in the same place. It's God's love. It's what draws us. Now, I'm sat about 50 miles away from you right now. And probably some of you even further. But I am so close to you. In my heart, I am close to you. We are together. It's God that binds us. That whole supernatural world, that kingdom that Jesus talks about. He says, the kingdom is near. And I want you to know that. The kingdom is here right now. It's near. All we have to do is just get right in our hearts and remove those barriers. A life by the Spirit has victory over the flesh. Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 5. He talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, forgiveness, gentleness, self-control, patience, all these things. You know, I'm going to get a bumper sticker for my car and put that on the back, I think. Forget the fish, I'm going to put that on the back. Galatians 5. Because, you know, if we have these things, people are going to see it. People are going to see that we're patient. It has victory. Be Christ-like. Let Christ's peace reconcile all, because believe me, people outside are going to see it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus who came to reconcile all. We thank you for that new covenant in his blood, which we are going to share in a moment. What a wonderful remembrance that is of that new covenant. Lord, help us. Give us your peace. Send your Holy Spirit to bring that peace in each and every one of us so that people around can see what you are. Pure love. That love that you have for us. That unconditional love you have for each and every one of us. And I pray this morning that everyone here and beyond will feel that. These prayers we offer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.